Hello and welcome to Page to Kill Your Podcast, the podcast where I, your host, Paige Dashen, talk about various story ideas and concepts. Today, so the thing is, I'm writing a book, and so what I want to do is read aloud the book. So that's what we're gonna do today, yes. Multiverse Mania, a Pageverse Story by Mackenzie Garvin. Hello from the creator. The multiverse is quite a large phenomenon. It contains every universe and alternate timeline, every story, and in every story, every universe, there are characters. Unlike most stories, these stories happen in a sense that perhaps, just maybe, this fantasy could be real. Somewhere in the vast expanse of space conceptualization, there are cartoon magical skeletons. There's a race of beings called characters, a place where the fantasy I create isn't fantasy, it's real. But let's face it, chances are that none of that is true. Everything is just, maybe not a figment, but a solid chunk of my imagination. All the characters that are written and depicted are but a mere concept, something to take up space, and yet no space at all. The imagination is quite the interesting, dare I say, concept. I have worked on these stories for a really long time, since 7th grade of middle school. And I've struggled a lot since then. These characters and their lives in my multiverse mean a lot to me. They're how I interpret life and its challenges. They're an expression of what I wish I could be. They're an escape, a break, a hope from reality. These aren't perfect worlds. Lost still exists. There is no world where Lost does not exist. A world without Lost is a world without life, and a world without life is, let's face it, not cool. But enough about the philosophy of my scattered autistic crazy scarf mind, and as much as I want to get into the different mechanics and workings of these characters that I adore so much, I want this to be an experience for people to go through. I want people to be transferred into this story. I want them to see my characters and inspire them. I know I've created a lot of characters, but there's a sense of loneliness. The vast expanse of the Pageverse is only inhabited by one kind of creation. My creation. Okay, enough rambling for real. I need to stop procrastinating on this book. It's taken me a while to actually sit down and write a book. The most I have is scattered Google Docs. I'll always treasure them, but they aren't going anywhere, unfortunately. But I'm hoping this book will help revive my drive to present these characters and their lives. I, Paige Dashen, present to you the Pageverse. Chapter 1, The Family of Light. They were a lovely family. The heroes had gotten married and had a daughter now. As surprised as Grape was, yes, that is the name she goes by and prefers, at her maternal desire to just stop working and take care of her daughter. She was the guardian of order, protecting the innocent in not only her universe, but also the multiverse. She was one of many heroes. Her husband, Cadmus, was the guardian of light, and together they had Melanie. She was their pride and joy. Melanie took on attributes from both parents, but also had some of her own. Abilities vary widely in this multiverse, but there are some consistencies. For example, all characters had a spirit, a holographic symbol that could be summoned. It was created mainly from personality, but there were some code aspects to it. Most could turn into animals, the ability being called spirit animals. And, of course, how could they survive and interact in their jobs if not for weapons? As being the guardian of light, Cadmus could summon a spear of light and net of light. Grape could summon some daggers and a quarterstaff, and Melanie had just figured out her magical abilities. She could summon a bow and arrow, with the arrow being made of light. The family lived in their original universe. It wasn't quite a rural setting because they were surrounded by forests, but it felt naturally rural to them. They lived in a little house that stood in a clearing. As per Grape's backstory, there is a village just south of the forest. Grape's backstory isn't very complicated. Her father, Tom Nightshade, was a skeleton, and he had died just 2 to 3 years after she was born. Her mother, Marcy Nightshade, was a human, and had died when Grape was around 14. That isn't the most tragic thing that Grape has dreams about every now and then. The thing that shook Grape's world was her best friend, Dash, dying. Now, she hasn't told Melanie for fear of scaring the girl, but the village is what killed Dash. She was shot in the skull, ending her life. And Grape watched this happen. She felt responsible for what happened. She wasn't there to protect her friend, to convince her not to go into the village alone. It concerned Grape that Melanie was so curious. She didn't want her to meet the same fate as her friend. But Cadmus assured that assured her that neither of them would let that happen. They were heroes. They could protect her. And they did. They always did. Mom! Mom! Grip was at the kitchen sink, washing the dishes. She wasn't wearing what she usually wore to work. Instead, she darned black socks, medium blue jeans, and a lavender purple shirt. What? What? She matched Melanie's delighted repetition. You know the squirrels that visit every morning? Grip tilted her head, her face slightly stretched. You mean the ones I told you not to feed? Melanie paused as if to think of a reply. I think this was a different group. Grip rolled her sockets. Anyways, squirrels visited this morning and... Melanie perked up after sitting herself at the table. Well, they visited and guess what they gave me? Grape had a skeptical look as she turned to her daughter after drying her hands. Gave you something? Let me guess. A flower? A flower! They gave me a... Wait, how did you know? Grape walked over to the table, sitting down and leaning on her elbows. Eh, just a hunch. I've seen enough Disney movies to know how being nice to animals works out. Melanie held the flower in front of Grape. Look, it's even your favorite color. It makes me think of our family. Grape watched with soft sockets as Melanie explained her thoughts. She explained how she connected each color to a member of the family, and how the flower itself represented beauty. Grape couldn't help but think how privileged she was to have her daughter, privileged to have such a light in her life. Cadmus was too, don't get Grape wrong. It was just that she was around Melanie all the time, especially since she, Grape didn't like the word, quit running around the multiverse as a hero. At first, she was concerned as for who would keep order of everything, but Cadmus and the rest of the heroes reassured her that they could keep everything upright. Sometimes she misses being the hero she was, but then she remembers all the wounds she would get every now and then. Those weren't so great. But it wasn't like she would purposely put herself. Suddenly her phone began ringing. She looked to see that the caller was her husband. She looked at Melanie as she got up. I gotta take this, okay? Why don't you go pick a movie for us to watch? Melanie blinked as Grape left the room. Oh, okay, I guess. Only when Grape was safely in her bedroom with the door shut did she pick up the phone. Hey, is this what I think this is about? Cadmus must have been caught off guard with the pause he took. Well, what do you think this is about? Grape began to pace. The multiverse is in danger? It's not like you to call me during the day. Usually, it's the other way around. Preferably, it's the other way around. Cadmus couldn't help but to chuckle on the other end of the line. Sorry, it's just... I love you. And you're right. This is what you think it is. Grape sighed, looking up at her closet door. Is it... them again? Cadmus sighed as well. Who are we kidding? When is it not? Grape rolled her sockets as she walked over to the closet and opened the door. Right, right. Anyways, you know I can't just leave, Melanie. She began to rummage around the closet, pulling out certain clothes. Don't you think she can be by herself? Grape, she's 13. At a time like this? Cadmus, this is the multiverse we're talking about. And with them running around, you know, I wouldn't put it past them that they could attack our children just to get to us. Cadmus tripped on his words a bit. Yeah, well, I think she could hold her own. She's good with her bow. Cadmus, get someone to come down here. I don't care who- well, I do care. But you get what I'm saying. He sighed. Does Vi sound good? Grape bent down in the closet and stood upright with a pair of sneaker boots dangling from its strings being held in her hands. I thought she would be busy. Well, unfortunately, all she does is stand there, so... She walked out, glancing at the shoes. You know, I never really noticed that until last time this happened. She shook her head, clearing her thoughts and waving her hand in the air as if to shoo them away. So you're gonna get by down here? Sure. Cadmus. He was silent before sighing. Yes, dear, I'll get someone to watch our 13-year-old daughter. Seriously, Cadmus, you know stuff like this always worries me. He took a deep breath. You're right. I'm sorry. In all seriousness, I'll get someone to watch Melanie for us. Thank you. I love you. I love you too. And then she hung up. She looked at the clothes that were laid out on her bed. Hope you guys still fit. As far as Grape could tell, Melanie was totally spaced out. She was staring at the TV, completely checked out. I'm gonna leave for a bit, okay, Mel? Melanie instantly replied. Grape looked down at herself with uncertainty. Someone's gonna come by, though, so you won't be alone for long, okay? Uh-huh. Now Grape's logical side was telling her to actively pause the TV and communicate with her daughter. However, the anxious wreck of worrying if she was rusty told her, "Don't worry about it, just get out of the house." So that's what she did. She opened the front door. "I'll be back soon, okay? Bye." It bugged Grape how monotone she was, like she was actively being brainwashed. But the TV just did that kind of stuff to kids. And she walked out the door. And then she shut it. Melanie perked up and blinked. Was her mom just talking to her? She couldn't remember what she had said. Maybe she could go ask. When she went to open the door, she looked out that window. She paused to stare. Who was that? It looked like her mom, but they wore strange clothes. She wore this weird blue jacket hoodie thing, like with black cargo pants. Is that what they were? Melanie couldn't even begin to describe her shoes. They were like Converse, but if you made them into slim, hardcore hiking boots. The person turned around and Melanie ducked out of the window. Was someone just at the window? Grape's phone pinged with a notification. She pulled it out to see his text. "Bye, on my way to your house," she replied. "Great, thanks." Then she started on her way again. She only had to go a little deeper into the forest, and then she could summon the portal. She wasn't watched half anxiously. Melanie had run off to her room to throw on an outfit to go after her mom. She had put on some random green t-shirt that had "Hedgehogs, why don't they just share the hedge?" with a hedgehog saying "no" on it, and light blue skinny jeans. She made a stop by the coat closet to throw on a green single pocket hoodie. She didn't even make a full stop to put her shoes on as she hopped around on one foot to slip them on. And then she bolted out the door after her mom. Chapter 2, The Family of Darkness. "I'm leaving." It sounded like Shatten mumbled everything she said, but she sure didn't sound happy or clear with the world. Instead of seeing her daughter as a source of joy, she loved her daughter, she really did. Lately it had been taxing to stay with her. Shatten was darning her villain outfit. It was a dark royal blue button-up with a navy blue coat that had bright red accents. She wore two leather belts, one across her body and one around her black pants. She sealed the pirate look with a pair of riding boots. "Okay." Shatten scowled at the back of the couch that Marley was laid out on. She was watching Doctor Who again. Shatten hated that show. "Call me if you need anything." Then she walked out and closed the door. And, for a moment, Marley was content with just sitting there. The Doctor was on his way to defeat the Daleks again, but Marley had binge-watched all these episodes at least twice. She knew how he saved humanity this time. And she glanced around the room with the drop of her skull. She was doing that thing that teenagers do, the thing where they huff out their boredom in a puff of breath, but they stay just the same, if not more bored, as before. More tilting of the head, this time landing on her sock-covered feet. She smirked. She roughly knew what was going on. This person thing was out trying to destroy the multiverse, but none of the adults were for it. She also was aware of how all the adults, more specifically her parents, were terrified of bringing their kids to help. Strangely enough, this all seemed like a war to Marley. Everyone was getting in on stopping this person, except for the kids, of course. Everyone feared the kids getting hurt. Creators forbid any children die. But that was the thing. The creator did forbid. There were plenty of moments in Marley's life where she could have died. Her parents were villains, after all. Don't get them wrong, they love their daughter with all their spirits, but Jatten has always had a short temper. Not that she's taken it out on Marley. She never has. She just... the type of mom who gets very passionate over things that her daughter does. And don't even get Marley started on the people that work for her dad. He was the King of Darkness, King Enzo. He also ran the villains, keeping them under control. Now, Marley doesn't exactly remember how she got her scar that was over her left socket, but she knew it had something to do with when she was born. Something about a creature attacking her in her crib. It was some crazy stuff. She didn't bother to care about it. That was then, this is now, and there was no hiding or getting rid of the thing. But she was perfectly content with living with it. And there, all ready to go. Marley was sporting an outfit that she didn't wear too often, but often enough that her mother knew its terrible reputation. She had on one of her favorite shirts. It was black with a skeleton wearing sunglasses and holding up a piece of garlic bread and said "Garlic Bread" in Comic Sans font underneath. She loved that shirt. And of course, she had her beige cargo pants and red Converse. She loved Converse. And she could never forget the Doctor Who necklace her parents, she knew it was her dad that got it without her mom's input, had given her for Winterfest. She loved her necklace. As Marley grabbed her phone from the charger, she heard her mother for a moment. "Call me if you need anything." She stood in thought, staring off into them. There was so much to unpack from that sentence alone. A whole package, box, jar, can, whatever, of a relationship to open. She shook her head. It's more fun to mess with Mom. It was far too easy for Enzo to silence a room. All he had to do was walk into it, and his presence immediately demanded respect. And at a time like this, it was necessary that attention was paid to him. "Thank you for coming." He stood at the large table, and a few other characters sat down. Most of everyone stayed standing. As it has been made aware, S has escaped and is attempting to destroy the multiverse. Yet again. He began to walk the front of the room. Usually, we split into groups and have each group go to different spirits to protect them from S. This time, he glanced from character to character. We're keeping smaller groups, but we'll have a larger group in hopes of making this quick, and he suddenly stopped dead in his sentence and thoroughly looked around the room with scrutinous sockets. Only after finding that a certain someone wasn't in the room did he finish his sentence. "And hopefully this time we can put them down for good." He continued to explain things. Unbeknownst to her parents, Marley was standing off in a dark corner, barely paying attention and on her phone. She was aware of the spiel, but this wasn't the first time and it probably wouldn't be the last. This was just the time that S was going to sprint around for a bit before tripping on their ego and failing. S running amok may have been before Marley was even born, but she was no stranger to her father's castle's library. She barely noticed as someone snuck into the room, careful to stay at everyone's backs. Marley glanced up from her phone for a moment, only to look back down, take a moment, question her socket sight, and look back towards what she saw. They were gone, whoever they were. She put her phone away, no longer leaning on the wall, and started to drift around the back of the room in search of whoever just snuck in. It wasn't long before she found the short girl trying to stand on her tiptoes to see around the room. Marley reached out a hand to the girl's shoulder. "Hey, it isn't like Marley was loud, but Melanie certainly had to stifle a shriek. So many people in this room looked scary, or at least foreign. She just wanted to find her parents, or at least her mother. Melanie's body was shaking, practically rattling her bones. She was looking at Marley with wide, terrified sockets." Marley moved her hands away as if to reassure the scared animal. "Hey, it's okay, alright? I don't want to hurt you." Melanie's shoulder and skull only dropped slightly. Who are you?" Marley tried to shrug casually. "Marley, and who are you?" "Melanie," the girl squeaked. Then she looked around nervously. "I'm looking for my mom. Could you help me find her?" Marley smirked from a mean thought, but innocent Melanie thought it was an actual smile. "Sure." She put her hand to take Melanie's. Melanie didn't even hesitate, and she thought she was accepting help. "Hey, who's your mom?" The smirk grew. "Grape," and without hesitation, "is Grape here?" Marley shouted out into the room. Melanie froze as everyone suddenly turned to look at the two of them. Marley only smirked, and she stayed smirking until she saw her father staring deadpan and her mother's bone brows and her obtuse angle just above her sockets. Uh-oh. Shatten began to storm her wave towards Marley, and the teenager took a hesitant step back. Enzo had to pass everyone's attention to someone named Vine and took strides across the room, somehow beating Shatten to Marley. "Marley, what are you doing here?" She blinked at her dad. "I told you to call me." Suddenly, slightly to Melanie's surprised relief, Grape and Cadmus came walking over. "Melanie, what are you doing here?" She blinked at her dad. You were supposed to stay at the house." As opposite as Grape and Shatten were, their families were awfully similar. Chapter 3, You Meet in a Castle. Whether Shatten has always been evil, or if she was actually good at one point, is like an abstract piece of art. In some pictures, she's a villain, a cruel character wishing destruction and chaos on those she deems fit. Which is a lot of people. But a solid amount of the time, she paints herself as the misunderstood monster. Someone who just is trying to survive. She often tries to be presented as a victim of Grape. You see, when Grape's best friend died, she didn't know what to do. She felt so sad and lonely when she found one of her father's many spell books. She ended up coming across a page that gave instructions on how to make a companion. When making the companion, Grape tried tweaking the spell into making it a revival spell. But when she cast it, she didn't revive her friend. She awoke a shadow. Her shadow. Well, yes, she was disappointed that Shatten wasn't Dash, she still felt the need to help her. And how did Shatten and Grape become archenemies? Well, Grape's more of an enemy than a hardcore archenemy. They have different ideals. Grape is the guardian of order, protecting the innocent. Shatten spreads chaos and destruction, emphasis on the chaos. No, Grape did not neglect Shatten. Shatten just refused. In fact, it took Grape a long while before she mustered up the courage to tell Shatten no. Shatten was supposed to be her friend, but she couldn't have a friend that would go and purposely hurt others. Shatten wasn't good friend material. Not for Ray. Grape and Shatten are like north and south. They repel each other, which is strange considering how the board is set right now. They're right next to each other, with their daughters. It didn't take long for Enzo and Cadmus to just space out of their families and towards each other. They've always been good friends, even with their occupations. Enzo was, as stated before, the King of Darkness, and Cadmus was the Guardian of Light. Two completely different roles, practically opposites. They met in a life before this, this being an afterlife, and it took a while, but they became friends. There was this holy place called the Sacred Grove. Creative biblical stuff. Enzo was the guardian of the West Peach Tree, the tree that bore peaches of darkness, and Cadmus was the guardian of the East Peach Tree, the tree that bore peaches of light. Enzo was often picked on for protecting something so sinister and, well, dark, but Cadmus wandered over to him and immediately wanted to be friends. There ended up being an accident, of course, and the West Peach Tree was burned down. This was also during the first time Enzo was away from the tree. Cadmus had convinced him to come visit the East Peach Tree. Enzo was able to save one peach of darkness. He was so panicked and vulnerable that the peach called to him that he should eat it. So he did. By eating the peach, he gained this idea, a false accusation. The deity convinced him. It convinced him that Cadmus was the one behind the destruction. Enzo went and confronted Cadmus, bearing a sword and an axe. In the last attempt before dying, Cadmus ate a peach of light and gained the ability to kill Enzo. They ended up trading lives. But they're friends again now. They duke it out every Thursday and have tea every Tuesday. They support each other. They really do. Basically, life tells them no, they say forget you, and hang out like good dude bros do. They even do it behind their wives' backs. They're pretty smooth like that. So how's the panic treating you? Enzo glanced around from out of his hood. He always had it to wear his cloak. As funny as it was, he actually was allergic to light. Not like a vampire where he would turn to dust, but if he was exposed long enough, he would die. Cadmus was the opposite. Being in the dark too long makes him feel dizzy and gives him a splitting skull ache. He sleeps with a nightlight. Grape's learned how to just live with it. Are we really just going to let this happen? We're just going to let this play out? Cadmus adjusted his leather belt as he gazed at his wife and daughter. What are you talking about? We're trying to stop this all we can, Cadmus. We are not letting S win. Then Cadmus folded his arms as he shot stern pinpricks at the King of Darkness. Our wives, Enzo. I'm talking about our wives. Enzo let out a laugh. Okay, that was on me. Anyways, he looked at his own wife and child. You know if we intervene, they're going to see each other and start a whole thing, right? They don't get along very well. Cadmus gave a one-shoulder shrug, brandishing one of those helpless smirks that friends do. Maybe Melanie will get along with Marley. Enzo scoffed. You do realize that my daughter just shoved yours under the bus, right? Cadmus squinted his sockets at the King of Darkness. What? What do you mean? Enzo explained Melanie and Marley's first impression dynamic. Melanie was the scared, lost animal, and Marley was the evil teen. As much as Enzo wished his daughter wasn't so rebellious, he knew she got it from her mother. Shatten was a lot like this in her teen years. She, of course, looked nothing like a teen, being a copy of Grape. Well, what do we do? Enzo shrugged as if this wasn't his problem. It was, in fact, his problem. I don't know. Either way, they're going to yell at each other when this is over. Grape and Shatten both gave a sigh directed at their daughters, a sign that they were concluding their lectures. Speaking of the apocalypse, here we go. Both Shatten and Grape looked around briefly, actually raising and turning their skulls to look around the outskirts of the room. Once crossing their daughters, they continued slightly and, "Oh, you have a daughter!" Grape gave Marley a smile, who gave her one of those absolutely fake, raised and stretched teeth with deadpan socket faces. The one that moody teens give when they don't want to come off rude, but also do. It sends mixed messages. "Ugh, you have a daughter." Shatten sounded and looked disgusted. She hated Grape's bones, so seeing something her bones created only spreads her hatred. Melanie didn't really know what to do with Shatten's signature scowl. She wanted to apologize for whatever she was doing wrong, which is nothing, but that's also just the vibe that Shatten gave. So Melanie just stood there awkwardly. Marley saw her mother's agitation and took the initiative. She leaned towards Grape and put out her hand with a cool smile. "Hi, I'm Marley." Grape took and shook her hand. Shatten rolled her sockets, her shoulders raising. The scowl lessened into a judgmental look as she slid her pinpricks back at Melanie. "And this is..." Enzo was impressed that Shatten wasn't just hauling off and starting a fight with Grape. This is taking a lot of restraint. Melanie? Melanie squeezed her shoulders together to release pressure. How it was releasing pressure, I do not know. But it did make her feel slightly better. "Well, are we done here yet?" Someone abruptly stepped into the conversation, cutting Shatten off. She was a dark skeleton with black hair and dark bones. She had purple lines coming down her face from her eye sockets that were bright green and containing medium blue pinpricks, the left having a bright purple ring. She wore a bright green t-shirt with navy blue pants that were held up by a bright purple belt. Over her shirt was a black coat that ran down her legs, stopping at the top of her shoes, which were black heavy-duty hiking boots. She was tall and intimidated Melanie. "Has everyone left already?" Cadmus looked around. Vine rolled her sockets out of attitude. She was like Shatten, but well-tempered and less chaotic. "Yes, Cadmus, everyone has left, and you want to know why?" He stared at her. Because the multiverse is in a crisis, and you four are standing around gawking at a family reunion. Enzo tilted his skull, looking off in thought. "Gawking is a strong word, Vine. Besides, these two aren't supposed to be here in the first place." He gestured to the girls. Their mothers gave them looks of skepticism. Vine folded her arms. "Well, they are," and she was caught off as someone looked into the room and they jogged over. "There you are, Grape," the person said. "I've been trying to contact you for the past hour." "Riley, what are you doing here?" Vine was surprised as the girl walked in. She had quite the outfit. The girl was short and had medium brown hair. She wore a brown V-neck long-sleeve shirt and a short tan leather jacket that had two mismatching patches on the shoulders. They coordinated with her mismatching pinpricks. She had a sky blue skirt with black leggings and wore brown combat boots. She also had colored pencils and strapped around her body and some primary colored paint on her right cheekbone. "Well, Cadmus asked me to watch his daughter, so I went over and Grape had already left, so I figured I'd find the kid. She wasn't there. I texted Grape on multiple occasions, didn't get a reply, thought I should go find Grape, and now I'm here." She looked around. "Where is everyone?" "They left," Shatten stated flatly. Vi nodded, looking around even more. "That means we should get going, yeah?" "Totally, let's go!" Marley piped up and was about to walk towards the door, but Shatten stepped in front of her. "Oh no, you don't. You're going home." Marley went, "Come on, Mom, this sounds really important. Why don't you want help?" Enzo and Shatten looked at each other and held a silent conversation for a moment. "Because," they looked up Vi, "not everyone helps. Some people are liabilities. You're a liability, because if you die or maybe even get hurt, that will affect how your parents fight. And we need Shatten and Enzo functioning at full capacity." Marley scowled off to say, "This sounds like a stupid math problem," she muttered. Vi sighed. They always have liked doing math. Vine's scowl hardened. "We need to leave. Now." She looked at the parents. "Figure out what you're gonna do with those miscreants and let's go." Now, Grape and Cadmus stared at each other before looking down at their daughter. Melanie looked at them with patient wide sockets. "Maybe we should, Grape. After all, we'll always protect her." Grape sighed. "Okay." She held out her hand to her daughter. "Come on, kid." Melanie took her hand with great gratitude. Marley stared. "Please, Mom, I want to show you that I don't need to be coddled anymore." Shatten took offense. "I do not coddle you." Enzo cleared his non-existent throat. She sighed. "I know that this isn't what this is about, but fine. You can come along." Marley smirked. "Nice." Vine began to suddenly walk out of the room, and and Vi skipped after her. Great Melanie and Cadmus followed with Marley, Shatten, and Enzo behind them. Vi ran up front to Vine. "Couldn't we do this in that room?" Vine let out a disgusted sigh. "Ugh, there's more magic gathered in the throne room, and I'm trying to conserve mine." Vi furrowed her brows at the villain. "You act like we're running out of magic, but it's always conserved. It's a law." Vine laughed harshly. "There is no law with codes. There are, like, things are created and destroyed out of thin air." Vi rolled her sockets. "Whatever. Where are we going first?" Vine walked through the grand entrance into the throne room. "You're the artist. You should know. They always go in rainbow order." Melanie watched in curiosity as a holographic panel appeared in front of Vine as she began tapping around on it. Motivation. Suddenly, a portal opened. It was shaped like an upwards rectangle with glitching edges. Vine looked back at everybody. She nodded to the adults. "Just give me a minute with the kids." Grip and Cadmus exchanged worried looks. They looked at Vi. She gave a reassuring look. Cadmus, Enzo, Grape, and Shannon all went through the portal one at a time. Vi stood about to walk through the portal, but waited. It wasn't that she didn't trust Vine, she just wanted to assure Grape and Cadmus. Melanie felt intimidated by Vine. She towered over Melanie and was a few inches taller than Marley, not to mention that she exuded an unhappy aura that consumed the air around her. Her sockets freezing the air that the aura consumed. "Listen," both girls looked up at her, "whatever you do out there, do not die. I will repeat myself. Do not die. You have no idea how catastrophic your death would be." "Now," she stepped to the side, folding her arms as if she didn't just send a shiver down Melanie's spine. "Get out there. Your parents are waiting for you. They'll show you what you need to do." Then Vi stepped through, followed by Melanie and Marley. And finally, Vine. Hey, thanks for listening. I forgot to mention the title of this book, but I'll probably put it in the title of this episode. The title of the book is Multiverse Mania. I wanted to start this mainly because I was bored and I had too many things to do, so I just was like, you know what? But some of my friends have trouble reading big books, like long stories and stuff like that. So I thought it would be cool to someday have an audiobook and all that jazz. So I'm like, hey, why not start this? And I can post it. So then my friends can like listen to it. And to be honest, this is probably all really bad. Because I'm not good at editing and I'm not good at doing character voices. I probably am. I'm sure if I refined it, I could totally do it. But the thing is, I don't like getting out of my comfort zone. Anyways, thank you for listening. If you want, you can contact me at pagerdashin14@gmail.com. Go ahead, shoot me an email if you have any questions, comments, and hopefully not concerns, but hey, I'll take what I can. Thanks for listening. I hope you have a nice day. Yep. Bye.